If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 23 through 27. Before we get started, I just want you to know I'm going to start a new series this starting today and called Making Your Life Count. How many want your life to count? Amen? When I end my life, when my life is over, I want to have made some kind of impact upon the world in which I have lived. How many know what I'm talking about today? I want to have affected somebody's life, not for the bad, but for the good. Amen? And I believe that's God's desire for our lives today. So for the next several weeks, we'll be speaking on that subject, making your life count. And some of the subjects that I'm going to be speaking on will be, today actually is going to be make your life count. It's a choice. That's the beginning. That's the first one. And then the next couple of weeks, next week we won't be doing it, but the following week we'll be making your life count in spite of your circumstances. Amen? And then the following week we'll be making your life count by encouraging others. And then we'll close it all out by saying, speaking on God's formula for making your life count. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and ask God's blessing over our time together today. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that I can gather together here, Lord, with people of like faith, O Lord, with brothers and sisters. Father, that we can gather together, Lord, in your name, Lord, that we might, Father, encounter your Holy Spirit in this place. And I pray, God, for the next few moments, Lord, that you would do something, Lord, that only you can do. Father, that you would take this vessel, O Lord, of clay, and I pray that you would anoint it with your Holy Spirit. And you would allow me to speak, Father, with authority. And Father, that you would allow me to speak, Lord, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, that it may, Lord, not just be words of man, but Lord, that it would be the very oracles of God today. Lord, let this word, Father, find good soil in our heart, O God. Let us, Father, be changed by your word today. And let the power of Christ, O Lord, rise up within us, Lord, that we might make an impact upon, Lord, the community in which we've been planted. In your holy name we pray, amen and amen. This morning I want to look at a man who made a great impact upon the world that he lived in. He was just an ordinary man. I've noticed that in God's word, that God loves to take that which is ordinary, that which is nothing special, and do extraordinary things through. Have you realized that? You see that all through Scripture. But we want to look at this man today, very much like you and me, just an ordinary individual. But even as ordinary as he was, he accomplished some extraordinary tasks simply because he made some choices in his life today. I mean, how many realize that life is all about choices? How many realize that? It's about choices. Someone said, well, Pastor Rick, I didn't have the choice about being born. I didn't have the choice about who my parents were going to be or what color my skin would be. And you know, I have to agree with you on that. There are some things that we have no choice in. Being born. No one has a choice of being born. You're just born. That was your mom and daddy's choice. How many realize that? But who your parents are, you have no choice in that either. Amen. There were times I'd have traded my mom and dad for another set. How many know what I mean? Amen. I can't choose the color of my skin. How many realize that? That's something that we can't choose. Some of us are white, real white. You don't want to see me with a pair of shorts on. You need sunglasses, let me tell you. Because I'm a white boy, let me tell you. But some of us are white, some of us are dark, some of us are different colors. But we had no choice in that at all. Even the country that I was born in, I have no choice in that. The state or the town that I was born in. You know, I could have been born in Calcutta, India, but God chose to have me born in America. And I'm thankful for that. But I tell you, with that privilege of being born in America, I have a great responsibility. How many realize that? I have a responsibility to those that are in Calcutta, India. Amen? Who are not as fortunate as I am. But we have no control over that. We have no control of that. I had no control of being born handsome. That's just a burden I've had to learn to bear. Amen? I've tried to, You know, say to my wife many times, I'm sorry I was born handsome and not rich. And she says, me too. Oh, my goodness. However, how a person lives after they are born, after they're grown up, how many realize that how we live then becomes a choice? How many realize that? It becomes a choice with what we do. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says this. God is speaking to the children of Israel, and He's also speaking to you and I today. And this is what He says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And then He says, therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live. Amen? What God is saying to each of us this morning is that life has choices. God gives you and I a choice. We can either choose blessing or we can choose what? Cursing. We can choose life or we can choose death. Amen? God is saying, I've set before you these things. And He says, even if you're not sure, if you're a little on the dense side, if you're a little on the slow side, and you don't know which one to choose, God gives us the answer. You know what He says? He says, choose life. Hallelujah. That you might live, but not only will it impact you, your choice will not only impact you, it'll impact your seed, your children, and your children's children. Can I tell you something today? I made a choice a long time ago that I was going to serve God. Amen? Can I tell you something? I can't do anything about what went on before me. Amen? I can't do anything about what my parents did or what my grandparents did or what my great-grandparents did or who they were or how the life they lived. But let me tell you today, I have a choice today, and I made the choice to put all that behind me and start to say, I'm going to serve God. For me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How I live our life, how we live our life as a Christian is our choice. By the way, how we live our life as just an individual is a choice. It's my prayer this morning that you will choose to live a life for God in such a way that it'll have an impact for good on those that are around you. That's my desire. When I leave this place, I want people to say, hey, Pastor Rick had an impact in my life for the good. You see, I believe that that's God's plan for all of us. God didn't put us here just to live and to die and to just to go on. But God wants you and I to leave a legacy behind. Can you say amen? God wants you and I to leave a trace of ourselves on this earth. What kind of trace? A trace in the lives of other people that we've had encounters with. How do I live my life? Today, as we look at this man named Moses, here's a man who had to make some very, very tough choices in life. And not only did his choice impact his life, but they impacted those around him. And the choices that he made way back then are still impacting our lives today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because of the choice Moses made, we have the Ten Commandments. He received the Ten Commandments. Because of his choice, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Because of his choice, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. Amen. Because of his choice, he was used mightily by God to accomplish some incredible things because he made a choice today to serve God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because he made a choice, he became one of the most prominent men in all of God's Word. The choice that Moses made, by making those choices, he settled some key issues about his life and about who he was. And if we're going to make an impression on this world, if our life is going to count for something, we've got to settle these issues ourselves in our own life. And I want to give you, there were four of them. What were the issues that Moses had to settle? Number one, the issue of identity. Who am I? The issue of responsibility. What am I going to do with my life? The issue of priority. What are the most important thing in my life? And it was the issue of difficulty. What am I willing to commit my life to?
These are issues that every one of us are going to have to deal with. Moses made the right choice in every one of these circumstances. As we go forward through this sermon this morning, I want to give you some foundation for personal success, or you could say a foundation to make your life count, hallelujah, upon this earth. Number one, we need to discover who God made us to be. Amen. Number two, we need to accept responsibility for our own lives. Number three, we need to establish a value system that we're going to live by. Amen? That we're going to live by. And number four, that we should never take our eyes off the goal that God has given us. People who succeed in life are people who stay focused upon the goal. Amen? So how am I going to make my life count? If I'm going to make my life count, I've got to discover, first of all, who God made me to be. Now you say with Moses, he had a difficulty with that. You might say, well, Pastor, I was made who I am. Well, who are you? Moses was born a Hebrew slave, but he was raised in Pharaoh's courts as Pharaoh's grandson. If anyone could have an identity crisis, how many know it could be Moses? Amen? If anyone could have some kind of an inferiority complex, it would be Moses. Moses didn't know whether he was a Jew or whether he was an Egyptian. He didn't know if he was a slave or if he was a prince. The consequences of his decision would affect Moses the very rest of his life. If he says, I'm Pharaoh's grandson, then he has fame, he has fortune, he has a life of luxury, he has a promising career, and he has a throne to look forward to. But if he says, I am an Israelite, I am a Jewish faith, then he will be rejected, he'll be despised, he'll be thrown out, he'll be humiliated, and he will have to live the rest of his life as a slave. How many realize? That's a big dilemma. Either to choose to be Pharaoh's grandson or either to choose to identify with his people who were under Egyptian bondage. Hebrews 11:24 tells us this, tells us what Moses did. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to look at that word, refused. It says that Moses refused to be the son or be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That word means to disown and to reject and to leave no door open. You know what Moses said? Moses says, I refuse not to be what somebody wants me to be. I refuse to take on that title. I refuse to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. I choose to call who I am. I am a child of God, God's chosen people of Israel. Hallelujah. Moses insisted on being what God made him to be. No amount of peer pressure could change his mind. Moses refused to live a lie, to be something that he was not. How many realize that? Because he was a man of integrity, he was a man of character. Listen to what Acts 7 verse 22 through 25 says. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in word and in deed. And when he was full 40 years of old, he came unto Hard to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressing and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver him. But listen to this, but they understood not. What did he do? He identified with those that were enslaved. He goes to visit his brethren and he sees somebody that's abusing his relatives, his bloodline. And what does he do? He steps in and he says, I will not have that. I'm not Pharaoh's son or grandson. I am what an Israelite, and you're treating the Israelites bad. I'm going to step in and intervene. And he killed the man. And he thought that the Israelites would see a mighty deliverer had rose up.
But how many realize it wasn't time for that? They did not understand. They did not understand. Moses was a great man on his way to becoming the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But there came a time in his life that he had to decide what he was going to be and who he was going to be. Was he going to be the Egyptian or was he going to be an Israelite? As Pharaoh, he could rule all of Egypt. As an Israelite, he would lead his people out of Egypt's bondage. But he chose to identify himself with the people and gave up the fame, the fortune, and the power of Egypt. Why? Because Moses knew that God had a plan and God had a purpose for his life, and he chose to do what God had called him to do. He chose to be what God created him to be. I want you to know this morning, God made Moses and gave him a purpose in life. But can I tell you something this morning? Every one of us here today, every one of us inside of this building today, God has a plan and God has a purpose. God has something that He wants you to accomplish. And if you and I will be what God has created us to be, then you and I can fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants you to be the person He created you to be. So the first step in making your life count is to be what God created you to be. The world doesn't need a cheap imitation of you. How many, or somebody else? How many realize that? The world needs an original you. Amen. You know, we try to be like everybody else. But God says, I want you to be who I've created you to be. If you'll be what I've created you to be, then I can work in your life. But if you want to become somebody else or act like somebody else, I can't work with you. But when we say, God, I'm here, I am who I am, and if you can use me, He says, I can use you. And He'll do great things in our lives. We need to discover what God made you and become what God made you. God made Moses to be a deliverer to suffering people. What has God created you to do? What has God created you to be this morning? If I'm going to make my life count, I need to accept responsibility for my own life. I want you to hear me. I need to accept responsibility for my own life. I need to stop making excuses and I need to stop blaming others for my lot in life. I need to take the initiative if I want to see things change in my life. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Look at that word there. It says He chose. He chose. If we want to make our life count, we've got to make some hard choices in our life. Did you know that we are as close to God as we want to be today? Did you know that we can read the Bible as much as we want to read the Bible today? Did you know that we are being used of God as much as we want to be today? Because it's a choice. It's a choice. We read in our Bible so much, we want to read it, but the thing is, we say we want to do it, but we don't do it. We choose to do other things. How many know what I'm talking about today? God has given you and I the freedom of choice, and the choice will determine what our future will be. Everything I choose has consequences with it. How many realize that? Nothing that I do, nothing that I choose it has a consequence attached to it. If I choose not to read my Bible, if I choose not to spend time in prayer, if I choose to forsake myself assembling together in the house of God, there are consequences for that. How many realize that? I will find myself dying spiritually. Why? Because of the consequences of removing that from my life. But if I read my Bible every day, if I seek God in prayer every day, if I come to God's house when God's house is open and I worship the Lord, can I tell you, there are other things that'll take, there are consequences for that. I will grow closer to our Heavenly Father. I'll hear His voice. God will begin to work in me in ways that I never dreamed possible. Why? Because I've put myself in a position. I made a choice to be an instrument in the hands of a living God.
In verse 23, God chose Moses as a baby. But in verse 25, as a man, God chose, or Moses chose God. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, or when he was full grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means that when he grew up, when he became a man, when he matured, how many realize that maturity is when people start accepting the responsibility for their own lives? How many realize that? When you and I become mature in the things of God, we begin to accept the responsibility in our own lives. One of the marks of maturity is when people stop blaming others and accept responsibility. As a baby, it was okay for Moses to live off of his parents' faith. Let me realize that. But when he had grown up, he had to make a decision on his own. I want to give you three facts of life as far as spiritual growth is concerned. Number one is this: I cannot live off another person's spirituality or spiritual commitment. How many realize that? I hear people say, well, my parents were Christian, my dad was a missionary, my husband is a believer, my wife is a believer. That's great, that's wonderful. But what about you? How many realize you and I cannot drag along the coattails of those that have gone before us? We need our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to cut those spiritually apron strings and get our own relation with God today. There has to come a time when my relationship with Christ is my relationship, not somebody else's. When my children were little, their relationship with God was pretty much based on Jackie's and our relationship with God. How many realize that? We taught them how to live right, how to behave in public most of the time, you know. We taught them how to pray, but we knew that there was coming a time when their faith must become their own. We could only do what we could do, but there comes a time when our children had to say, I want to take this and let it become my faith rather than my mom's and dad's faith. Not because mommy and daddy said it was right, not because mommy and daddy said I should do this, but because I've had my own experience with my Heavenly Father. I've let Jesus come into my life and He's changed my life. It's not because of what mommy said or daddy said, it's because I've entered into a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I've experienced it for myself. Moses grew up and he had to choose. Number two is I can't blame others for the direction for my life. Have you realized that? I can't blame others for the direction of my life. Society says the very opposite of that. It says it's not your fault that you're where you're at. How many know that? You're just a product of your environment. You ever heard that one? I'm not saying that our environment doesn't have some effect on us. Can I tell you something today? I've got scars in my life today. I've got hang-ups today because of my environment. But that doesn't determine where my life is going to go. Let me realize that. The world said you're just a product of your mind. Blame others for your messed up life. Blame your mama. Blame your daddy. Blame your uncle. Do you know how to spell the word blame? I think it's on the screen there. Be lame. Can I tell you something? When you blame other people for the state you're in, you're being lame. I know the jokes are bad. You pay more, you get better jokes. Amen. Oh, listen to me this morning. What did he say? He says you can't blame other people. It's our life. I can't control all the circumstances that happened in my life.
I can't control what went on in my life. It was beyond my power. It was beyond my ability. Yes, some bad things happened. And when I grew up, yes, some bad things were in my life. Yes, I didn't maybe get everything that I needed to get. Yes, I didn't have everything that I probably needed to have. But I can't blame anybody but myself if I continue in that vein. Amen? If I continue to follow that. But I can choose today what I do and how I respond to what came into my life. Amen? And number three is, no one can ruin my life except me. No one can ruin my life except me. I am free to choose how I respond to what life has dealt me. If you're here today and life dealt you a pretty bad hand, if you're here today and things were not all that it should have been in your life growing up, or maybe even now, can I tell you something? You might not have any control over that, but you have control on how you respond to that. Amen. It can either make you, or it can either break you. It can be a stumbling block to you, or it can be a stepping stone for the things that God has prepared for you. Can you say amen? If I'm going to make an impact, if I'm going to make my life count, I need to establish priorities in my life. Number three, if we're going to make our life count, we need to settle some important issues in our life. That's what Moses did. Moses clarified his values and his priorities. Look at 11:26 of Hebrews. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Look at that word regard. That word regard means to evaluate, to consider, to weigh in the balance, to judge. And it's not something that you do very quickly. It's something that you take serious and you ponder and you look and you say, what am I living for? What are you living for this morning? Who are you living for this morning? Is it to get all you can get while you're here? To accumulate everything that you can accumulate? Or is it to have an impact upon the world around you? What are you living for today? When I leave this world, I want it to be said Pastor Rick made an impact upon the world in which he lived. Moses evaluated what Egypt had to offer. And he evaluated what God had to offer. He looked at the value and he saw that there was only temporal pleasures of Egypt against the eternal blessings of God. And he chose to step out and identify himself with God's children and to walk God's way. Amen? What Egypt had to offer was nothing compared to the glory that God was offering Moses. Most people have never done that. Most people never make that decision, never sit down and prioritize. Most people never consider what's really important in life. Can I tell you something? When you and I know what's important, when you and I know what's important in life, you will establish value in your life. Those things that you want to build your life upon and build your life around, the things that will be important to you. Can I tell you something? To some people, the most important thing is that boat underneath the garage. Not talking about you. Some people, the things that are important is the house that they live in. Or the furnishings they have. Can I tell you something this morning? All of those things are nice and fine, and I think they're great if you have them. But can I tell you something? There's more to living for than just material possessions. Can I tell you something? God wants to bless you. I believe that. But more than He wants to bless you, God wants to use you to be what you have been created to be. Amen. God wants to use you to make an impact upon this life. Can I tell you? Moses said no to all of the pleasures of this world and said yes to the suffering of identifying to his people. And God raised him up, hallelujah, and gave him, hallelujah, a great and mighty inheritance. When you know what's important in life, you work toward it. If I don't decide what's valuable in my life, how many realize that other people will decide for me? The world is more than happy to press you into its mold and to promote its values in your life. We have a lot of Christians today who love God, but they bought into the world system and they're living in a system without even thinking about what they're doing. Amen? What is the world's priority is power and prestige. Pleasure. I want to feel good. I want to be happy. I want to have fun. Possessions. I want all I can get here and now. Do you know that all temptations fall into those three categories? All three temptations fall into that category. Moses, by the world standard, had it all. He had power. He was the heir to the throne of the most powerful country in the world at that time. He had pleasure. Every desire he had could be satisfied as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had possessions. The wealth of Egypt was at his disposal. Moses had it all, but he chose to walk away from it. Moses walked away from the things that most people spend their life trying to get. Because he knew what was important in life. Hallelujah. How many realize that the world's values will not last in our lives? The Bible tells us that one day everything that we see here today, everything that you have, the Bible tells us that one day is going to burn up with a fervent heat. It's going to be gone. It's going to burn up. Moses said yes to God's plan. And when we say yes to God's plan, that means we have to say no to the world system. How many know what I'm talking about today? So many want Christ, but they want also what the world has to offer. How many realize that? Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But I'm caught up in this world system. And I like the things that the world has to offer. So I want to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. And how many realize it doesn't work like that? People say, well, what I'll do is I'll just tack Jesus on and give him a little bit of time on Sunday, but the rest of the time is mine. It doesn't work that way. How many realize it? When I say yes to him, I have to say no to this world. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. The problem with a lot of Christians today is they're trying to say yes to God and yes to the world at the same time. And when they do that, they lose. They lose their happiness. They lose their self-respect. They lose the blessings of God in their life. When we compromise our commitment to God, we try to live in two worlds. We only make ourselves miserable. How many realize that? When I got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, it makes me miserable. But Moses clarified his values and priority. He decided what was important in life. And as a result, it made an impact in his world. And his life counted for those around him. Amen. Moses discovered three things. Number one, Moses discovered that God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. Amen. God had a plan for his life, and he refused to be called anything but a child of God. Amen. Moses discovered that people were more valuable than pleasure. Amen. Verse 25 says he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. How many realize the Bible is honest? The Bible tells the truth. The Bible says that pleasure, that sin is pleasurable. Sin is fun. How many realize that? It's fun. Listen, if sin wasn't fun, nobody would be doing it. How many know what I mean? It is fun. But it's only fun for a short time. It's only fun for a short season. It doesn't last. Moses could have had that temporary pleasure of being the next Pharaoh in Egypt, or he could do what God had called him to do and deliver his people out of pain and slavery. Hallelujah. He had to make a choice, and he chose not the pleasures of Egypt, but he chose to identify with his people. Amen. If he had not have made that choice, we would not even be talking about Moses today. How many realize that? but because of His choice, His name is written in the book of this book that we call sacred. Why? Because He chose. Moses also discovered that peace was more valuable than possessions. Look at verse 26. He regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of heaven. Isn't that incredible? You say, Pastor Rick, Jesus wasn't even there when He did this. How could He see the treasures of Christ when He wasn't even there? Because He saw through faith. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 24, He rejects the world's measures of success. In verse 25, He rejects the world's pleasures. In verse 26, He rejects the world's treasures. Moses could have stayed in the palace of Egypt and had every possession he ever wanted. Wine, women, and song. But he knew that there was no possession that would give him peace but that which was found in God. Can you say amen? He would have been miserable not doing what God wanted him to do. Can I tell you something? If you're not doing what God has called you to do, your life is empty. How many realize that? There's always a void there. Peace doesn't come from things. How many realize that? Peace comes from being centered in the will of God and doing what God made you to do. Hallelujah. What do you value this morning? What matters to you most? It's amazing to me that Moses gave up everything that matters to most people, and most people spend their life trying to get. But Moses walked away from it. Look at verse 26. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. What motivated him? He looked beyond what he saw. He knew it was only temporal. Oh, he got the right perspective. Amen. Oh, it's all in the way you look at things. Moses looked beyond his life into the life to come. Moses knew there was something better on its way. And if he settled for this which is before him, he would lose out the better that was coming. Amen. So he looked with faith. Our values are determined by our vision, what we look upon. What are we becoming? What do we look upon? What we look upon is important to us. What we focus on. What are we looking at? What is the most important thing in my life? Moses was a man of vision, and he saw through the eyes of faith. And God wants to give you a cataract surgery. Amen. That we can see clearly through the eyes of faith that what is here is not worth it. Amen. But keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Number four, never lose focus of God's goal for your life. Look at verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, for he persevered because he saw who was invisible. Hallelujah. You say he saw someone who was invisible? Remember, I just talked about the eyes of faith. How do you see things that are not there? You see things that are not there through the eyes of faith. Can I tell you something today? I see a sanctuary right out here. Amen. I see a gym. I see hundreds of young boys and girls. You say, where are you seeing that at? I see it through the eyes of faith. Amen. Oh, it's not here yet, but I can see it. Amen. I perceive it. Amen. I perceive lives being changed. I perceive people giving their heart to Jesus Christ. I see it. Amen. You know, Dr. Cho, who had the biggest church in the world in South Korea, he used to preach with his eyes closed. And somebody said to him one time, Pastor Cho, why do you preach with your eyes closed? He says, when I close my eyes, I see multitudes. When I open my eyes, I see empty seats. So he preached with his eyes closed. Why? Because he saw with vision, amen, what was to come. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me, church.
We can never lose sight of the goals that God has for our life. Moses saw what others could not see. People whose lives count are people who always see what others can't see. They look beyond what they see and they focus through faith on those things which they can't see. There are men and women of vision. Their secret to success is their persistency, and they go after what they cannot see. By faith, Moses persevered, and because he saw him who was invisible, his vision drew him, hallelujah, so that he could take what he could not see and he could obtain what he could not have. Praise his name. You see, that word persevere means never to give up. Moses refused to give up. Did you know that Moses spent most of his lifetime waiting? The first 40 years of his life, he was in Pharaoh's palace. He killed the Egyptian. He spent the next 40 years on the backside of the desert. And yet God had called him to be a mighty deliverer of his people. He was 80 years old when he saw his vision, when he saw that dream come to pass. So he spent most of his time waiting. You see, what happens to us is when we wait a little while, if it's not here in 10 minutes, we bail. How many know what I'm talking about? But can I tell you something, the church? There's something about persevering. How many know that? Oh, you ever get tired of waiting on God? Oh my goodness. I've learned that there's a difference between no and not yet. I've learned that God's delay is not God's denial. And one of the tests of faith is waiting. Waiting on God. Keeping your eyes on the vision. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have surround such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off every hindrances and sin which easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. We're going to persevere. We're going to keep on keeping on. Amen. Let's run with perseverance. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Those two go together. How many realize that? When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can run with perseverance. Let me ask you this morning, what matters to you? What makes your life count? If you and I will discover who God has made us to be, if we'll accept the responsibility for our own lives, if we'll establish the priorities and values for our own life, and if we'll never lose focus on God's goal for our life, I want you to know, hallelujah, you can see the glory of the Lord in your life. Amen. You will make your life count. The most important choice in our life today is to make Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior today. If you have never established that relationship, you ought to do it today. Amen. You ought to do it today. Why wait? I don't understand why people would put off the most important thing in their life and not say yes to Jesus. Would you stand with me? Bow your head today.